Welcome to the Early Years Web Summit with me, Cathy Brodie of CathyBrodie.com. We are focusing this summit on children's personal, social and emotional development. Today I'm delighted to be joined by Debbie Keat Hartland. Debbie is an international freelance consultant and blogger who explores approaches of education that create fertile conditions for deep thinking of both children and educators. She's an advocate for the use of the visual arts as a tool for creative and critical thinking, and how the expressive languages can embrace values of active listening and documentation and the co-construction of knowledge as part of a group. She's co-director of Sightlines Initiative. Welcome to the Early Years Web Summit, Debbie.
Oh, thank you. And thank you so much for asking me to be part of this wonderful opportunity.
No, I couldn't miss this up because we're going to be talking about documentation today. And how that can support children's personal, social and emotional development. And I have to admit at this point that when we talk about documentation, I think about this as being, you know, the boring paperwork part. Nobody wants to talk about documentation. But you're specifically talking about pedagogical documentation. So I was fascinated to find out what that was about. Could you just start with what is pedagogical documentation, please?
Yeah, well, for me, it's not the boring stuff, but it's the essential stuff of trying to figure out the process of how children are learning and developing. So it's trying to get to the bigger picture of what children are thinking about. And it's kind of a research methodology in that it has both a form and a function. So for me, the form of pedagogical documentation takes the form of taking photographs, which we would ordinarily do within an early year setting, maybe taking some film and writing down some notes about what children say and do. And then using that, the functional side of it is then using that rather than putting it in a book that goes on a shelf somewhere for somebody to look at some point, that we use those traces for self-reflection and for group reflection with others and for sharing back with families, and most importantly sharing back with the child. And we use it so that we can figure out what to do next with children and what they are, and trying to figure out what they are thinking about, so that our choices are better than before.
Mm-hmm. So that sounds like it's very much a working document. It is a process rather than just gathering dust somewhere.
That's right. It's absolutely a process. And I think sometimes we think about documentation as a product.
Absolutely.
That is something that it's done as that is word processed, the photographs are added into, it goes on the wall or it goes in a children's file somewhere, and it's quite a static product. Yeah. Whereas it's very much, it's a process that's alive and keeps the learning alive.
And that's an interesting point, isn't it? Because I see lots of documentation that is word processed, that's beautifully presented. I mean, it looks absolutely gorgeous. You can't knock that. But very often that's taken somebody a whole weekend to do that, and it's not added much value to the children. But you're talking about something that's being used every day. Is that right?
Yeah, that's right. So I think the minute you pick up your camera, you are making a choice about something. You are valuing something that's happening. And that moment in picking up the camera, you begin to document. So it begins at that point, not at the point of putting things together in a nice package. We could call that more summative documentation, something that we might do at the end to share to a wider audience. But it's not the main thing that we do.
How interesting. So pedagogical documentation is very much a working document. It's something that's the process. So how can we use that to support children's personal, social and emotional development?
Well, I think, in collecting the traces of documentation of children's experiences, we can use these as visual aids and memoirs to sort of recreate a context for learning. Children, the most important thing to do is to be able to offer these traces that we collect back with the children. And sometimes that's as easy as just turning the camera around or turning the tablet around so that they can see themselves. Mm-hmm. And I think it's about seeing that children see themselves as learners and see the pleasure in that, and that they can reflect back on something. I often say to practitioners that what we're doing is sort of making external an experience that's internal for the children.
Wow. Yeah.
Feeling themselves as learners and as confident communicators, But then we're showing back to them what that actually looks like. And that gives more energy to the process, of learning. And it also shows in terms of what we value, you know, how we value children. You know, it's so important that they have this sense of what they've got to say is important about the world, and they've got something to offer the world. And pedagogical documentation, to me, does exactly that.
Yeah, and I think it's sort of, there's an amount of respect comes in there as well, doesn't it, when you're talking about showing children what they've done. And I think sometimes we're very quick to take photos, we make our notes, put it away, and nobody actually says to the child, do you mind if I take a photo of your beautiful model here? Or, you know, so that, and I love the idea of just turning, it is as simple as turning the camera around, isn't it, and just showing, look what I've taken a photo of. Yeah, absolutely.
The conversation, and you find out more, and it means you're in connection with that child. Then you're not viewing them through a lens all of the time. That lens is, it's about forming a relationship with the child or the group of children that you are with.
Yeah, and to be fair, that's what lots of people say about documentation. It, you know, the paperwork's taking me away from the children. I want to be with the children. I came into the job to be with the children. I absolutely, totally get that point of view. And absolutely agree with it. So maybe this is a way of both doing the documentation and being with the children, having that sort of joint learning process together.
Mm-hmm.
So it doesn't feel like you're being taken away by that documentation. So what sort of things can practitioners be doing with pedagogical documentation? What sort of things does that encompass?
Well, an example I can give you, some educators at Ashmore Park Nursery in Wolverhampton who use pedagogical documentation as part of their everyday practice. Currently, they've got some groups of children who are interested in the sun and the moon and the relationship between it. So a typical kind of way of working with pedagogical documentation is that they would just keep a book by their side, just a simple notebook by their side. And as they're working with the children and asking questions and watching and noticing what children are doing within that sort of inquiry context, they'll be jotting down what children say. And also importantly, what children do. But it's a jotting down as sort of a personal memoir. They might also be writing down, you know, things that the children say, but they might have a particular question in mind that they want to document further, which might be about children's relationships, or it might be about the relationship between the sun and the moon and what they're thinking about. And so they're writing notes and interacting with the children at the same time. But the important thing is what they do then afterwards. That this book isn't just closed and then put on the shelf until the next time to add more notes into it.
Yeah.
Either is it used as a checklist to check off points against various criteria, but it's actually used in conversation and dialogue with each other as a place of exchange and encounter, really, that they talk to each other about what's going on, and they ask each other, well, what do you think is happening within this? And they may then choose certain photographs that they've taken and bring that to sort of a group meeting, or they will use those photographs that they have chosen in the next session when they're next with the group of children and say, this is what we were doing last time, do you remember when?
How lovely. Yeah.
And that gets the children talking back about what they're doing, and it sees them in that context of being creative and active learners.
And I think that's got so many valuable points, and how very rarely, I'm just trying to think now, I don't think I've ever gone back to a group of children, got out the book and said, do you remember what we did last time? And all that sort of keeping children in mind and valuing their views, that's there, isn't it? That's all done for you.
Mm-hmm.
How interesting. Having seen that in action, how do children respond to that? Are they quite positive?
They're very positive about it. In another context, in Madeley Nursery School, they have these reflection journals, and they place them down on the floor, and they've got things that photographs that children have taken side by side with what they have said. And you'll often find that the children will try and add their own marks into it because they know that book is about them.
Yeah.
And they know that they can go back and find previous encounters that they've had together, and they remember about that. And what happens, they begin to see themselves not as a, of course they see themselves as an individual, but as an individual as part of a group, as part of a collective group. And it sort of creates that sort of sense of belonging that you want in a group of people, let alone sort of children.
Yeah. I can imagine that might work really well with your key group as well. You might want, if you have a small group time with your key group, to get those sorts of things out and remind and reflect on what you've got there. Yeah.
Yeah, they'll often say, get the book out, you know, so we can write it down.
Yeah. And these are just normal books you're talking about. They're just sort of A4 books of some sort.
Yeah, like an A4 or an A3 sort of plain notebook. Because sometimes you might want to draw how children have been drawing, for example, you know, the kinds of marks they're making. A visual reminder that might be important at the time to look at. Or it might be that you want to draw where the children are positioned around a piece of paper if they're doing something collaborative.
How lovely. Yeah. So, I mean, those are reasonably simple things to do. It's almost like a change of attitude, like a change of perspective on what it is that you're doing. We're not talking about really expensive pieces of kit here, but this is how you use everyday things that I'm sure people have already got in their settings.
Absolutely. First time I encountered pedagogical documentation was, of course, in the schools in Reggio Emilia, in Italy. And I was expecting to see something that was very complex, very complicated, very time consuming. Mm-hmm. And they showed us a video of some photographs, A3 photographs, simple, beautiful photographs of children, I mean, black and white, that were just laid at the bottom in one of the infant toddler centres for their very young children. So it's photographs of babies. And the babies would crawl up to these photographs, and it's a very early form of documentation, and they would encounter themselves, and they would put their hands up against the images, they would look at each, and they would go along the row, and they would look at each other's. And really, you know, that's pedagogical documentation being used in its simplest form to offer back to the children so that they can begin to, or continue rather, to construct an image of identity for themselves. Mm-hmm. It was a beautiful example of how simple documentation can be used back with the children.
Yeah, absolutely. But again, the practitioners or the educators, they need to understand the value of that as well. It's not just sticking up photos and leaving them to it, is there? There's a philosophy behind that as well.
There is, that's right. And I think, you know, what they were interested in doing, because of course they were then videoing what the children were doing, which was another part of the pedagogical process. And they filmed it in order to try and understand how children made friends with other at such a young age. You know, what were the connections that they made to the images? You know, did they notice them? Could they find themselves? Could they find a friend within those images? So that's why I call it sort of a research methodology, is that you're actually trying to find something out about children so that then you can offer that back to them.
Yes, and that's the important other half of the circle, isn't it? It's not just capturing that, it's then what do you do with that, as you said at the beginning. So offering it back to the children. How would you offer it back to very young babies? How would you then share that back again?
Well, I've certainly done things where I've put things on the floor. So especially with images or with film, that often it's just to offer it back in a slightly different context so that they can see themselves. I saw some wonderful work in a Swedish preschool where with their youngest children, they'd noticed how they were banging pots and pans outside in the garden, as children do, with various spoons and whisks. And they filmed this, and then they brought the film back inside, and they projected it really large in this space. And in front of the projection of the film were pots and pans and not drumsticks and things. I would have put drumsticks in, but they were so close to the children's ideas that they put the spoons and the whisks back in and re-invited them back into that context. So the children could see themselves in the garden, but had also got the material so they could interact with themselves. So it was a beautiful thing.
How fantastic, what a great idea. And I think that idea of reacting immediately is so important as well, that it's not, oh, we'll do that next week on the planning. That has got to be almost instant, hasn't it, to pick up on the children's ideas.
Yeah. And so in that moment of self-reflection, when, you know, sometimes you're thinking about it at the time of working with children, what you could be doing next or what to offer next. Sometimes you need to take it, you know, to a group, you know, to your colleagues sort of thing, and talk it through in order to try and figure out what to do next. And it was Loris Malaguzzi of the schools in Reggio Emilia who always said to stand aside for a while and listen carefully, and perhaps teaching would be different than before. And for me, that's what pedagogical documentation is about. It's about standing aside just for a while and not being the adult who can't be interacted with, but just to notice what children are doing, and then make decisions based on that rather than just pulling ideas out of the air. I think when we pull ideas out of the air, we're not thinking about the child in front of us, and therefore there might be a danger of a disconnect. And for me, that doesn't help them with their personal, social and emotional well-being.
Absolutely. And I think that the days are long gone, thank goodness, where we did planning, you know, in the summer holidays for the next year, even before you'd met the children, sort of thing. Yeah.
But I... Yeah, cycles of things.
Hey, look, I've done it. I did it.
We all have.
So, but that immediacy and that standing back, and I think even just having a notebook next to you and writing it down, having to think yourself to put that into a form of words and physically write it down, that does give you that second or two of reflection, doesn't it, to think, where is this going, what's important, why am I noting this in particular about this group of children or this particular child? That's right. So that's what pedagogical documentation is, and some really nice examples there. What strategies can practitioners and educators out there right now start to use in order to implement it? I know it's not as easy as just, oh, well, tomorrow we're going to be doing pedagogical documentation, but what are some of the simple strategies they can start to employ to bring that into their settings?
Okay, well, I think it's important to realise that they're probably already doing some of it. They will already be taking photographs and maybe some films. And what I always say is to start small. And Gunilla Dahlberg, she often talks about taking tiny ant steps so as not to overwhelm ourselves. So I'd suggest to take an ant step, and maybe to have in mind a possible research question, which could be, how do children form relationships through their play? Something as simple as that. Or what are the strategies of the children using to get to know one another? And then I'd have a nice notebook. I'd go out and buy a nice notebook or a file or whatever it is that does it for you. And I'd have something that was nothing too big, nothing that was going to cause a barrier between you and the children. Boards are like a miniature wall that we put up between children, and I would have it by my side, and I would sit with a group of children and just listen and begin to be part and listen into their conversation and just take note of their actions in relation to your question or your theory that you might have about children. And then I'd find somebody and talk about what I've seen, because it's in that coming together with somebody else is where you find out that there's a different perspective. They might have seen that child in a different situation that connects. It might help you see patterns of behaviour that's happening across different places. And then I would share back the photographs, simply share back the photographs with the children themselves. And often I will do that from a book and say, this was you last time. Have you seen what you're doing here?
Yeah.
That opens up a conversation. I mean, alternatively, you might want to take short films. You can gather a lot of information from films, and children love seeing the films back and families, of course. And I'd only take it for 5 minutes at a time. If you take a 30-minute film, you've got to spend then 30 minutes, a good half an hour, actually watching it back.
Yeah.
So take short snippets of film, either 1 minute pieces of film, and allow yourself five snippets or 5 minutes of continuous film, and then afterwards watch it and then see what that brings up for you in terms of what those children are doing.
Mm-hmm.
I think in that way, as long as we are reflecting on the material that we are collecting, then we're automatically thinking about what we can do next for children that will mean that we're by their side instead of leading out from the front.
Yes, I think that's obviously the key to it, isn't it? Is that process, is that joint process that as you say, you're by your side. I love the idea of reflecting with your colleagues on that. I can imagine as a staff group, I think that would be really nice. Or if you're in a childminding network, to take that along to the network meeting. I could just see how that coming together and somebody else looking at it saying, well, didn't you notice that they were doing that? You go, no, I didn't even see that. And certainly when I've been doing research and we've reviewed video, it's the things that other people notice that make you think, oh, yeah. And that's what kind of changes your perspective, doesn't it? That's what
it does. And it becomes part of our professional development then. And it's sort of continuing professional development if we're doing that on an everyday sort of basis.
Absolutely.
And I think one of the important things is in sharing it back with the children is that they get to see their ideas side by side by other children. And it helps them see that there are multiple perspectives too, that there are different points of view. And in a way, we're sort of modelling that sort of democratic sort of process that we don't always have to think about the same, you know, it's not about all about being the same, but we can accept our differences and our similarities and look for connections and patterns between us.
And of course, that's the core of a lot of what we do. If you think, you know, you can call it unique child or British values or whatever it is you want to call it. But that's the real bedrock of this is how we are as a community. And that's obviously going to vary from setting to setting and situation to situation. And I'm guessing from cohort of children to children, I guess that children are going to react to those things differently as well, aren't they?
Absolutely, yes. Absolutely.
So I just think that's a really nice idea. And in a minute of video, you can get an awful lot in. I'm thinking if they're playing outside or doing a lot of things, actually, a minute of video, you can see lots and lots going on. And I just think that'd be a really nice thing rather than, oh, let's sit and have a story on the carpet or, you know, it's raining outside. And just to review some of those together with the children would be a fantastic activity and spark lots of ideas.
On a bigger scale as well. It's like going to the cinema and seeing yourself in action.
Yeah. Well, you could just hang a sheet on the wall, couldn't you, and just do it against the wall. That'd be very, very easy. I think that's a really nice idea. As you say, very visual. And we know that, well, I'm certainly a visual learner. We know lots of people are visual learners and children obviously are quite visual still as well, aren't they? So that's a good way to learn and have that joint learning process. Yeah. That's some really nice ideas. What would your top tip be for practitioners who wanted to look into pedagogical documentation and find out more about it? Where would they go and what would your top tip be for looking into?
Well, I would always start with going back to the sort of one of the main sources of pedagogical documentation and look at some of the early examples of from Reggio Emilia. I also write and blog a lot about pedagogical documentation, so you could look there too.
That's on your website, debbiekeithartland.me, is that right?
That's right, yes. And you can find out more information there.
But the
most important thing is to not just to read lots and lots and lots about it, but just to go and start doing it. And like I say, we're already doing part of that process through our formative and observational assessments already. It's just taking that next leap to seeing how can we use it directly with the children and how can I use it to better understand children and to plan what to do next.
Yes, and I think that's something else I meant to mention, that planning, it can often, again, be seen as, oh, it's Thursday afternoon, we've got to do the planning. And that's obviously going to be going out the window, isn't it? Because you'll be planning the whole time. That'll be a very dynamic process, won't it?
Right, that's right.
So how would you actually put that on planning? How would you present that as a piece of planning?
Well, I think, in using books, for example, following up from the last time you was with children, you will have an idea of what to do next. So I would simply just write it on the next page. Today we're looking at, you know, blah, blah, in relation to what we did last time. And I wouldn't necessarily have all the paperwork. That you what you end up with is sort of a chronological book that sort of tracks development and uses the planning cycle and reflective cycle all in one. It's making sure that, you know, nobody says that planning has to be done on a Thursday afternoon.
No, I know. And yet that's what happens.
And neither does it say that we have to plan for, you know, all individual children. You know, but we can look at what is interesting those individuals. So if we look for the connections and offer things that are of interest to children.
And I think that's really the heart of it, isn't it? It's following that child's lead, following those interests, and really queuing into what it is that they're interested in, rather than, oh, you know, it's spring or it's snowing, we've got to do this. It could be that they are interested in that, but do it, having it as a process and working alongside the children, you're naturally going to be meeting their interests. I really like the idea of having a research question in your book as well, because that means it there is some aim rather than, oh, let's get the Play-Doh out, we've not had the Play-Doh out for a while, but this is why we're getting it out.
Yeah, and having at the back, you know, what is it that you want to find out? I met a teacher on my first visit to Reggio Emilia, and she'd been working for 20 years at a school with children aged 3 to 6, and she had just moved into working with children who were aged 1 to 3. She'd said that I've got 20 years of experience of working with children, but each day I try to find out something that I didn't know before.
Wow, that's pretty powerful, isn't it?
Yes. So you're seeing yourself as a researcher, trying to find out how children think, how they develop, how they form relationships with one another, how they become interested in things, and how they express what they know about the world.
Yeah. I just think that's an absolutely fascinating topic, and it makes so much sense. Now you've said it like that, it really does make so much sense. And I'm really pleased. It's not quite as scary as I thought it might be when we look at pedagogical documentation. I was like, ooh, that sounds a bit scary, but it's not at all. I think that makes so much sense. I certainly love the idea of videoing children and having a nice book. I got in my mind already what sort of book I'd have when I go and buy it. Debbie, we've already mentioned that you do have a website, debbiekeithartland.me, and there's lots and lots, there's tons of information on there, I know, and for all your publications and things that are coming up as well, that's all on there. The thing that I really like on your site is the TEDx Brum Talk, which is obviously based in Birmingham in the UK, and that's a really nice little video. It's about 15 minutes, isn't it? Talking about all those visual creativity. It has been absolutely fascinating. Thank you so much for joining us today. I'm really going to go away and have a look at more pedagogical documentation and find out more about that. But thank you very much indeed, Debbie Keats Hartland, for joining us on the Early Years Web Summit.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
And thank you very much to our viewers and listeners who have joined us today.